Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to talk about a most important subject, the reality of God's action in our time, and what Paul described as the kindness and the severity of God. That is, St. Paul said that in his letter to the Romans. These are two dimensions of the one true God, of the one loving God, and both of those things, God's kindness and the severity in which God sometimes acts, both are a perfect expression of the perfect love of the perfect and wise God. We don't always see it that way. But what we're living through, friends, the shaking, the confusion, the warring. I mean, you could think about the times we're living in this way. There's key sources of pressure that are unfolding in the world. They have spiritual dimensions to it. The first thing is that God shakes the nations. This is what we've been talking about this week, Hebrews chapter 12. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at Renewal Ministries. You can listen to the program there or download it on whatever device you'd like. There's a lot of other good stuff there. Make sure and, you know, sign up for our weekly video podcasts and Sister Anne's show, TV shows, and all of that. It's all there for you. Best thing to do, simplest thing to do. And if you've been blessed by this program or Sister Anne's and others, we'd ask you to join us at this critical moment in the history of the church. Help us make our little contribution to what the Lord is calling from His church at this time, to help awaken brothers and sisters who are asleep, to help strengthen those who are already awake. Download the Renewal Ministries app, and you can access it anytime you want, the programs we have, and then could pass it on to other people. So I really appreciate that. I just got a friend of mine call me today, and lives in another state far from here, and he said that they have a weekly men's group, a good turnout of guys that get together for prayer, and they happened to watch the YouTube video that I did last week, or a few weeks ago, and he talked about the impact it had on guys. We had no idea that kind of thing was going on, but great, it's wonderful. You know, we hope that people do it. So what are the pressures that we're facing right now that God is permitting? I've talked on the program before about John Paul II's prophetic sense about our time. We're entering the final confrontation between the gospel, the anti-gospel, between the church and the anti-church, between Christ and the antichrist. You know, it's a battle that lies within the plans of divine providence, and we're all called now to enter into this battle. So that's a context to be able to see. Now, we're beginning to experience the severity of God. I think His kindness has been everywhere for decades and decades, and outpourings of the Spirit, and Our Lady of Fatima, and the Divine Mercy chaplets, and, you know, Medjugorje, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the graces that have gone forth, and so many people have been touched and converted and renewed in their life, and God's mercy has been abundant, and Lord, we are so thankful for it. But when people resist it, people keep walking away from it, people decide they're going to create a reality in a world and a culture and a way of life that acts as if God doesn't exist, that's going to lead to tremendous human harm, because human beings are walking away from light into darkness. Even though they think their light is the darkness they're actually walking toward, they think it's light. Remember Jesus said that? You've got a problem when you call darkness light. And you start stepping in that darkness, there's only two kingdoms. You are stepping into the devil's world without protection. So that's significant, right? So God intervenes when He has to. And why does He do that? Because guess what? He's got the eternal perspective in mind. He wants to save human beings. He wants to save us not just from, you know, maybe financial collapse here or physical sickness here or some division in your family or something like that. He wants to save you from eternal separation from Him forever. And He's going to do whatever needs to be done, which will be the most loving way in which He can deal with rebellion and wickedness to save the most people without overturning people's freedom and respecting their freedom. So this is God and His wisdom. And we have to come to terms sometimes when, as it gets worse, I think, friends, we have to be careful. Watch what happens in the human heart. Like, it looks like on the horizon, we're gonna run into some very, very, very serious financial difficulty in this country of ours and others that haven't experienced it very seriously. Now, some people did in the crash in 2008, 2009. People are experiencing it right now with the inflation that's there. Lots of people have been without it in the country, been suffering, but nothing like most of the third world. Like half the world still lives on $10 a day or something like that. So lots of financial suffering over the years. But now that's beginning to shake, this thing that many of us lean on for our security, our safety, our distractions, and all the things that we're trying to do to make our life seem and feel important. Money secures a lot of that kind of stuff. Well, the Lord's going to allow that to shake. And we have to be careful. Watch what happens to your heart if it does. What's your response? You're going to be angry with God? You're going to take offense at God? Like, where are you, God? I thought you loved me and you wanted to bless me. And now some of my money's gone. Or my business isn't where it used to be. And I'm angry with you. Well, you're going to have to deal with that. And what that reveals, friends, is where is your heart? Where's my heart? What do I love the most? What am I relying on? What do I think I can't live with? Or what is it that I most want to live with? That stuff all gets revealed in these kind of trials. And the Lord's after the heart. He wants to help us get our hearts rightly aligned with His heart so we can be saved and we can prosper in the Spirit and we can live the beautiful life that He has in store for us and enter into His glory. So there's four sources of pressure in this current trial. There's the shaking of the nations, which is God's judgment and the punitive judgment on the world, and the redemptive judgments on the church, the redemptive discipline. God disciplines those whom He loves, and wow, the church is running into its own lukewarmness, the consequences of it, its sin, its own corruption, and its divisions, its lack of actual belief and faith among the baptized. That stuff's getting revealed. It's so hard to see, but the Lord is coming after it. He loves His church. And the church, friends, is where the action is in the world. It seems like, because we're obsessed with it every day in our news, that all the big stuff is in politics, it's on Wall Street, it's in Hollywood, it's the environment, all this stuff. A lot of that stuff is very important. There's no doubt about it. But nothing is more significant than the health of the church in the world, because the church is the body of Christ. The church is the living presence of the new thing, of the new creation that God is bringing about in His Son. And the church will never ultimately be defeated. Lots of people might eventually be cut off by the Father, the vine dresser, because they don't really want it. So what we're seeing here is pressure number one: God shakes the nations to wake up the church out of its dullness, its lukewarmness, its weakness. The salt has gone flat. The light is going dim. The Lord says, in that case, you're no good to me. So what He's doing is wants to bring the church to health. Why? For its own sake, but also for the sake of the salvation of the world. Because God desires to save the whole world. He desires to save everyone, and His church is the instrument. But if the church is lazy, distracted, weak, without God's power, unable to preach with power and joy of the gospel, to live it, to love your neighbor radically, even love those who hate you. There's no signs and wonders coming from the life of the church like it did from Jesus and the apostles. When that stuff's not happening in the church, people just look at it. I mean, the church just looks sleepy and dull and it's dying kind of thing, that kind of state. But it will never die. People have said that many times. But this is the body of Christ. And the Lord's going to, for the sake of salvation, bring about the judgments and the discipline necessary to strengthen her. So that's number one. That's the number one pressure. Number two, Satan rages. So the nations shake, number one. Number two, Satan rages. Psalm 2, the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against His anointed. They collude with the enemy, whether they're doing it consciously or not, to disrupt the world. And Satan wants to do whatever he can. He's trying to stoke wars. He's trying to stoke more separation and division in people and politics. So that's Satan raging right now. Number three, another pressure is the rise and intensification of man's sin. Apostasies on the rise, lust, denial of reality, revenge, pride, you name it. And these things are intensifying. And accusation, division, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, very strong in our time. And it seems to be intensifying. Corruptions of various kinds. And then number four, creation itself groans. Scripture says. And I think the reality of the environmental crises that we're going through in various ways, the earth itself is both experiencing man's unwillingness to properly steward it, but it's also, in some way, as Pope Francis says sometimes, it's like the earth is crying out. It's part of God's creation. So all these realities, shaking of nations, Satan rages, man's sin increases, even creation itself groans. And all of it is the Lord calling us back to, as I said earlier, repentance and understanding the reality of what's at the core of it. I mean, what the world wants to say is, well, no, we just need more. The source of the problem is not sin in the human heart or whatever. It's social structures are the cause of all this disruption, or greed is the cause of all this disruption, which is true. These things can contribute. But the focus now is on, instead of going deep into the real source, which is the corruption of the human heart and the denial of God, the sin problem in the human heart, it's now out there somewhere else. It's in political leaders. It's in political parties. It's in social structures. And the new identity politics that's emerging now, that's getting weaponized by the enemy, in my view. We're setting people against each other, you know, gays against straights, women against men, black against white, trans against everyone else. It's all there, division, division, division. And everyone's pointing the finger in the other direction. The problem's out there. The harder it gets, the more we poke and push, and the more we hate. That is literally like, I don't want to forgive anybody. I'm not to blame, everyone else is to blame. And the heart gets hardened. Remember what the Catechism reminds us that Scripture and Jesus taught us about the human heart and sin. Paragraph 397, man tempted by the devil let his trust in his Creator die in his heart. And abusing his freedom, he disobeyed God's command. This is what man's first sin consisted of. All subsequent sin would be disobedience toward God and a lack of trust in his goodness. Here we are, friends, a tremendous amount of disobedience to God. Remember the love language of heaven. The Lord made it clear, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you're not paying attention and following God's will and commandments and following your conscience and the law of God and the ways of God and the teaching of Jesus, if that's not happening, you're not loving God. And you're missing what Jesus called the first and the greatest and most important thing, and what God is due, what we owe God. Paragraph 398, in that sin, that is original sin, man preferred himself to God, and by that very act scorned him. He chose himself against God, against the requirements of his creaturely status, and therefore against his own good. I'm telling you, the church has got so much wisdom, despite the fact that a lot of people don't believe it. It is amazing the wisdom the church has. A turning against God and the requirements of being a creature. This is part of the problem. I don't want to be a creature. I'm my own master. I'm my own God. I'm not subservient to anyone or anything. This is the drive that's in the human heart, the source of all the problem. Constituted in a state of holiness, man was destined to be fully divinized by God in glory. Seduced by the devil, he wanted to be like God, but without God, before God, and not in accordance with God. I don't want God. I don't want God before me. I don't want to have to align my life with his mind and his will and his commands. I will be my own master. Here's the root. We don't need God. We got everything we need, our money, our resources, our power, whatever. That's where the world's at right now, and that's why the judgments of God are here. God bless you, friends. I hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.